It seems that whenever I embark on a new journey, I have unfettered optimism that all of life's ills will cure themselves with the change of environment. And I will go forth and live the embodiment of my hopes and dreams. Disillusionment began before I started my studies here at Berkeley. Immediately after graduating from college, I found myself incapacitated by mono, a viral infection that takes all your energy. I began my studies at Berkeley lacking my usual enthusiasm and vigor. It didn't help things that I was disappointed and frustrated with my program and felt that, one, I didn't belong here. Two, my acceptance was definitely a fluke. Three, I wasn't capable or smart enough. Four, I was a fraud, just the typical graduate student qualms. Through a confluence of factors, I had my vision, my passion for studying nutrition and HIV, beaten out of me within the first few weeks of graduate school. So much for unfettered optimism. But I'd fallen in love with Berkeley. It was a breath of fresh air to be able to ride my bike and take public transportation nearly everywhere. Moreover, I found a community of believers in First Pres and in Veritas, the Graduate Student Fellowship. This community saved my life. I was having a little bit of trouble with myself. For a while, I was enduring nothing short of a tumultuous existence of intoxicating peaks of self-assessed brilliance, followed by an Icarus-like crash into the depths of darkness that left me staring into the face of hell. Thoughts of ending my life were not new to me, nor was the apathy associated with the loathing of my existence. During my formative years, the attitude I perceived from church-going people was, "You wouldn't be so depressed if you really believed in God." I felt this trite response infuriating and inherently unhelpful. I believed, and I was still depressed. Don't tell me it was because I don't have enough faith. Where were you, God? Somehow this time around, with the added pressure of graduate school, my resilience broke, like an old rubber band stretched beyond its capacity. I was completely dried up, a shell of myself. I found myself in a psychiatrist's office diagnosed with bipolar mood disorder, handed a bottle of pills, and referred to therapy. Things fundamentally changed. I couldn't go back to the same beliefs and understanding. I stopped believing in God. I felt he had dropped me. I thought he had given me this calling to use nutrition and work with HIV-infected women and children. And now this? Was I so naive to dream? The women in the Veritas Bible study I attended embraced me. They prayed for me when I could not pray, washed my dishes when I couldn't bring order into my chaotic life, and spent the night when the silence of my apartment consumed me. I still went to church and sat in the pews. I don't know why I stuck around. It was as though I needed the community to believe for me, to believe in hope and to believe in the vastness of God's great power. I confess, some Sundays I thought, what fools they are to put their trust in a God who is nothing more than a tease. But each week I showed up and I struggled. With myself unable to say the words or sing, unable to believe, this community sang, said the words, and believed for me. In Ezekiel 37, God takes Ezekiel to a field strewn with dry old bones and tells him to shout, "I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live." Ezekiel recounts, "There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. They had come to life and stood up on their feet." God brings life back into one's bones in unexpected ways. This year, God has brought me to an organization that shares a similar passion for the importance of nutrition and HIV prevention and treatment. That life passion, beaten out of me when I entered graduate school, was resurrected. I have had the God-given opportunity to collaborate with Global Strategies in their development of their pediatric nutrition program for the HIV-infected children in Goma. I feel so inadequate more than most of the time, and I don't know why I believe what I believe, except I know in my bones that my miraculous salvation is true. My prayer is that I may embrace these truths in my daily life on a moment-by-moment basis, and that these truths will be so ingrained in my heart and mind that those dark valleys and shadows of death, which are sure to come, will become beautiful expressions of God's embracing love, turning my woes into praise. Embarking on my next journey, I find myself with a matured optimism, not that all of life's ills will be erased, but rather that God, who I hold on to for dear life, will never drop me. Thank you.